young boys, devotees, special guests were assembled here for our annual Prerna festival. The topic is very interesting, overcoming anger or anger management. So this time we are attempting to present this seminar in front of you. So I'm sure all of you are familiar with this phenomena of anger. Anyone here in this room who has not experienced this emotion may raise hand. Anyone who has experienced this emotion can say Hari Bol. So we are discussing a very relevant topic. I was just reading the other day, there was an argument between a husband and wife. And the argument went on increasing more and more. And finally, the husband became extremely angry. And he threw the wife down from the second floor window. And he went running to the police station. And he told the police station man, the inspector there, please lock me up immediately. Policeman said, what happened? I pushed my wife out of the second floor window. So he said, so what, did she die? Said, no, that's why, lock me up. So we see that anger is a phenomena which affects all of us in every walk of life, whether you are married, unmarried, a student. Anyone has to face this arguments, fighting, conflicts, disturbances. And this emotion of anger makes us do all kinds of abominable things. So today's presentation is divided into 5 sections. First, we'll discuss the problem. Second, the symptoms of the problem. Third, we'll analyze the causes. We'll provide some solutions. And then finally, how to apply these solutions. So as far as the problem is concerned, we divided the problem into 3 parts. First, we will define the problem, and then we will provide some quotes about what modern day thinkers say, psychologists say about this problem, and then we will also see the consequences of the problem of anger. So let us go right away into the definitions provided, and I'm sure most of you can relate to these definitions because we have experience in our daily life. So the emotion we are going through is simply put into words, and you can identify immediately with these. So the first definition says, it is a strong feeling of displeasure or aggressive hostility aroused by real or suspected wrong. On May 24th, many of you may have read the newspapers and also seen on the TV, the very famous incident which took place at Sahar International Airport. CISF Commandant Arun Karanjikar was shot dead by one of his subordinates. And what was the reason? He was constantly hearing at his home this particular soldier or the guard on duty was always hearing at home from his father how the officers are all corrupt. They never do any justice to those who are under them. And some leave was not sanctioned. So he felt that this is very wrong. Injustice has been done to me. He just took a rifle from someone and shot him dead. And this was reported widely. So, a feeling of displeasure aroused by real or suspected wrong. It may not even be wrong, but you may suspect it is wrong and you feel displeased about it. Second definition is a response to the frustration of an unresolved problem. The assumption we generally have is every problem can be solved. And when we are unable to solve a certain problem and come out of a certain situation, we feel a certain kind of aggression. In the last 50 years or so, the number of shooting incidents in school has increased manifold, especially in the West. And one of the reasons has been given that students are facing more and more frustration because they are unable to come to terms with the myriad amounts of different problems which they are facing. They do not have a proper guide to help them resolve all these problems. So because of this frustration, the only thing they know is take a gun and shoot them dead. Thankfully, this phenomenon has not still caught up in India. But very soon, if things continue in the same way, it will happen here also. The third definition given here is a sudden violent displeasure accompanied by an impulse to retaliate. Now all of you must have read about how in Nepal, on one night, all of a sudden, practically the entire royal family was massacred. Who was responsible? One of the princes. So the prince, Dipendra, he just took an assault rifle and killed his father Birendra, his mother Aishwarya, his sisters, his brothers, and practically 9 people were dead. What was the reason? There was some marriage proposal and there was some objection from the mother. There was some objection from other family members. He could not take it. And there was a sudden displeasure. But it was also violent. And he wanted to retaliate. And so many were killed. The whole of the country was plunged into mourning. So we can see that this phenomenon of anger can create tremendous amount of havoc. And so many thinkers and psychologists have given various quotes to describe this phenomena. And I've just selected a few sampling of these quotes which are interesting. The first quote is, "Men are like steel. When they lose their temper, they lose their worth." I mean, for those of you who are familiar with the metallurgical terminology, the steel is many times tempered. It's called tempered steel. And that costs much more because it has a variety of properties compared to untempered steel. So when the steel loses its temper, its properties over a period of time, it costs less. So similarly, men like steel when they lose their temper. It's a kind of an ornament which is used here. Lose their worth. Second, we boil at different degrees. Different people have different boiling point, right? And even amongst friends while discussing, they say, "Don't speak like this, huh? I'm reaching my boiling point." That means after this, you will have to melt. Right? That means a warning is given. Or as one famous person said, that before marriage I melted, after marriage I keep boiling. Many times. Right? Or holding anger is like grasping a hot coal in one's hand. If you take hot charcoal in your hand, how will you feel? And becoming angry at someone is like throwing that hot charcoal. So in the process of becoming angry at someone, you should know that you also harm your own self. Another quote says, "Anger is like a wind that blows out the lamp of the mind." Next, if heart is a volcano, how do you expect flowers to bloom? Next, anger is one letter short of danger. Right. So as soon as the anger comes, you should know that very soon you are going to perform something dangerous. And the last quote says, "The matchstick has a head but no intelligence, and hence it flares up." So these are some of the quotes describing the phenomenon of anger. And what are the consequences of anger? I've divided these consequences into various categories. First of all, physiological. When we become angry, it has a direct impact on our nervous system, on our heartbeat, and it seems that some kind of poisonous toxins are released. To the extent that it is reported in a medical journal that a mother was feeding milk to her newborn baby and she was in a fit of anger. Something had happened and she was in an angry mood, and because of having fed the baby with this milk, after some time the baby died. And it was analyzed that it was these toxins in that milk which caused the death to the baby. And after one is angry, is furious, it takes a very long time for the whole system to come back to normal. And sometimes it may do irreparable damage. As far as emotional effects are concerned, we can see that the memories one carries of any angry outbursts torments him and haunts him for a very long period of time, affects his relationships, creates problem in remaining properly emotionally healthy. Social effects, the crime rate is increasing day by day. The crime rate of one New York City is more than the crime rate of whole India put together. And compared to 1960 and 2000, the crime rate has increased by practically 313%. The number one industry in United States is prison industry. It is not software, it is not some kind of other technology or pharmaceutical, but it is prisons. And people don't go to prisons because of doing just charity work. One goes to prison for performing violent activities. In fact, I met some prisoner in Yerawada jail a few years back. He was only 20 years boy. He had committed a murder and he had been given a sentence for 30 years in jail. From the age of 20 to 50, supposed to spend time inside the jail. So I asked him, when you performed this murder, did you not realize the consequence? And he said, this person was standing against me in the election in college. I was so angry with him. He came in front of me. I just could not think of anything. The whole mind went blank. Intelligence was clouded. I had a gun with me. I shot him dead. At that moment, the mind and intelligence went blank. Therefore, practically most of the crimes which are committed, and especially the fatal ones, are under the influence of anger. And financial, whenever there are social conflicts, and especially big mobs come and they start rioting, and it is something which is common in various countries, especially in India, so many riots keep taking place. And as a result of these riots, buses are burned, trucks are burned, shops are burned. What kind of financial losses we have to see because of this? And as far as international level, some of the biggest wars have taken place under the influence of this phenomena. World War II itself claimed more than 5 million people. And over a period of time, in the last 500 years or so, there has never been a time when the world has been free from the influence of wars, except for a period of 5 years. Constant strife and wars taking place all over the world under the influence of this anger. Sometimes it is only the political heads who are angry with each other, but because they are heads of state, they want to settle scores, so the whole country is involved. As far as corporate, many business rivalries, they perpetrate generation after generation simply based on anger and envy. Many times both families have enough to take care of themselves, but still, because of that feeling of anger, they may create certain kind of situations to keep that flame going. Like there were two ministers who were also into business, and one of the ministers had a big company in Maharashtra, where all the molasses from all the sugar factories in Maharashtra was supposed to be sold, and the control system was made in such a way that factory had monopoly to purchase all the molasses in Maharashtra. But then his rival, there was another minister who did not want this business to succeed. So big plant was set up, 400 crore plant, to process this molasses. And it had complete monopoly to get all the molasses from all over Maharashtra at the rate they demanded. But this other minister became the Union Minister for Industry. And immediately, he took away the controls for molasses. He decontrolled molasses. That means anyone could sell molasses to anyone at any price. At this stage, this whole 400 crore plant, which was completely dependent on getting cheap molasses, went bankrupt. Before even it could be commissioned, this 400 crore plant with so much of investment is just lying as it is, with no people being employed, no production being done, just a waste. Why? Because of a certain rivalry or anger between individuals. Familial. In families, outbursts of anger are common among different members of the family. Especially amongst the big cities, we can see, because of high degree of stress, we can see that sometimes the parents clash amongst themselves, or the children clash amongst themselves, or the parents and the children. And in this way, in all permutations and combinations, this kind of a scenario is being seen. And it is generally seen that people who are coming from families where they have seen too much of angry outbursts throughout their childhood, it leaves a deep impression of trauma in their psyche, even when they are young. And it practically stunts their complete development. Political. Of course, the outcome of this familial anger is in many times in terms of divorce. And practically speaking, the latest statistics reveal that 70% of the marriages in the United States end up in divorce. And in fact, in India, this was such a rare phenomena, divorce was such a rare phenomena, that the first divorce which took place in India was reported in newspaper, that a divorce has taken place. That was such a rare phenomena. And political, so many political rivalries are settled based on anger. An erstwhile Prime Minister, in a fit of anger, declared emergency and oppressed so many of political rivals, subjected them to all kinds of torture. And we can see that in many parts of the communist regime, Stalin himself was responsible for killing millions of people in the decades he was in power, and killing most of his opposition under the fit of anger. So not only politicians, they become angry with the people and their political rivals, but many times people also become angry with the politicians in power. And so we have seen so many revolutions taking place. We have seen so many upheavals taking place because of the display of mass anger. In fact, during the communist regime, there used to be a kind of anecdote about Gorbachev, that he was talking of perestroika, glasnost and opening up of things. But because of all of these, the economy was in shambles and people were not getting even the basic needs. So one cartoon showed how there was a long line of people standing to buy bread. And they were standing and standing and standing for a long time. And this fellow, he became very, very impatient, that his turn was not coming, the line was not moving. He became so angry, he immediately went out of the line, told his friend, "This is all because of this Gorbachev. I am now going and killing this Gorbachev. I'll kill him and come back." So went. He returned back after some time. So his friend said, "What happened? You had gone to kill Gorbachev, you came back?" Said, "The line to kill him is longer than this." Therefore, what is the point? Right. So this was a cartoon which demonstrated how even amongst the people, when there is unrest and anger, it creates upheavals. So at all levels, we have so many different kinds of effects or ramifications of this very powerful force, anger. So, this is as far as the problem is concerned. Definition, quotes and consequences. Now let us go to the second part, and that is the symptoms. What are the symptoms of anger? Or I would say, each one of us become angry. So I have given it this title, what is your anger style? In what way you become angry? So now, I mean, there are 400-500 people here, so there will be 400-500 styles here. But we are not going to define all that. Three broad categories, according to the cognitive approach of the psychologists just taken. So first is called lock it up. Second is turn it loose. And third is manage it. Right. So basically this anger comes in three varieties or three different categories. And it could be permutation and combination of either of these. And even if your style is none of these, don't worry. Ultimately, we have to overcome anger. Right. Don't come up at the end and say, this was not sufficient. Mine was unique. In your next presentation, take my category also, with my name attached to it. So this is just a brief kind of an understanding which is generally seen amongst people. So what are the symptoms of this first one? Lock it up. So every category I have divided into two parts. One is the behavior, and secondly is the reason why this kind of a behavior is shown. So in this, the person first of all withdraws emotionally, because he thinks that I don't have the right to be angry. In certain situations, you are not allowed to be angry, or you are not allowed to protest. Like for example, our Devananda Pandit Prabhu, he was in the Navy, and he was explaining, in army or Navy, the chief or whoever was there, major, he would give a presentation to all the soldiers, and then in the end, he will ask, any questions? So as soon as someone raises hand, he will say, okay, take 10 kilos bag on your back and go for 10 kilometers running. Said, why? Because you asked question. After such a clear description, how can you have a question? Go and run for 10 kilometers and then see how many questions you have. So after that, nobody has ever any questions. Right. So if a person is having any protest in his mind, he is not agreeing with something, he will just lock it up. He will withdraw himself emotionally. Secondly, give the silent treatment. Right. We disagree with something, we don't like someone's behavior, but we feel that to express anger is inappropriate or childish. So give the silent treatment. And he will not know that you are angry. Because you just stopped communication. You just stopped speaking. That is silent treatment. Thirdly, becoming ill or anxious. You feel that I may lose control of myself, or I can't cope up with these strong feelings like that. Or fourthly, to deny anger, but to show it in other actions. Right. And this may be, and also someone may get revenge fantasies. As the Amrit Swami was explaining, that practically 60% of the executives in England, they get dreams at night that they are killing their boss. Right. And sometimes they get daydreams also. So they are sitting in office in front of their boss, looking at him sternly, and the boss is asking, hey, what is the problem? And he's actually contemplating, says, no problem, sir. But he's actually contemplating that if only I could do what I want to do. So this is like denying anger, but show it in other actions because of dislike, or you have a fear that you may lose your job or relationship. Like for example, a boss took a meeting of all of his colleagues, and then he said, he made a very new proposal, increasing the number of working hours, slashing down on salaries. And then he said, anyone with any objection, raise your hand saying, I resign. So how many do you think will raise any hands? So you have to surrender, accept it. Or a husband and wife, they had a big quarrel, and after that, they went for a ride in a vehicle. The husband was driving at full speed, 85 miles, 100 miles per hour, was caught by one of the police patrol vehicles. Policeman came near and said, "Sir, you have been driving very fast, beyond 85, you don't know, the speed limit is 60. Husband said, no, sir, I have been driving only at 60. The wife got a chance. She said, "Hey, I saw you were driving 85. And he looked at her and, "Shh." But she didn't hear. And then the policeman said, "You're also not wearing your seatbelt." Said, no, when you came, I just removed the seatbelt now. Wife said, "Last 4 months I'm telling you, wear seatbelt while driving. You never wear it." He looked at her again, gave her a glance. Then he said, "Your tail light is missing. You don't have an indicator in the back." And he said, "Actually, just now while taking the right turn, it broke." She said, "Come on, last 6 months we don't have the money to buy for that." And then when he heard this, it was the end. Till then, he was under control. He blew at her, "You stupid lady, shut up!" And then the policeman looked at the lady and said, "Your husband always behaves you two like this?" And she said, no, only when he's drunk he behaves like this." So that was the end. So she wanted to express some dislike, but because the argument at that time she could not, at another time it came out. So therefore, this is called lock it up. Immediately you may not see it, but it manifests in some way, in some form, in due course of time. Situations may vary, persons may vary, and you will be bewildered. Why this person is behaving like this? He was so good so till now, and suddenly he is speaking all these things against me. What has happened to him? So you should know that he has his anger locked up, and now slowly he is taking out the key and bringing it out. Second is, very clear, turn it loose. That means instant karma. As soon as something is done, reaction is there, right in front. So first is blowing up at people. Why? Because you want to assert your power. Secondly, getting physical or hurting people, because the philosophy is best defense is good offense. Right. Thirdly, threatening, shouting or swearing. Either you feel that you need to control, or you are afraid of getting close to someone. Like there is a famous story of Alexander the Great. He was such a big, powerful emperor. He came to Vrindavan. He heard of a sadhu. He went to meet this sadhu and took his horse just outside his hut. And he told his soldier, "Go and call this sadhu out." So he went inside and said, "Alexander the Great is waiting for you." Said, "I don't know who Alexander is. This is Vrindavan Dham. We know only Krishna. So you go and call him inside. If he wants, he can come inside my hut." So he went outside and told that he's calling you inside. Alexander looked at the soldier with great anger and said, "You are calling me inside?" Said, "Not me, he is calling you inside." So Alexander said, "Maybe you did not explain properly who has come. Go and tell him, Alexander the Great, and tell him what all I have done, and then he'll understand." So he went inside again, explained. Again the sadhu said, "I don't know anything, but I'm busy in my bhajan, send him inside." So this time again he went and told him. Alexander got down from his horse, took the sword, put it right there in a sheath, walked inside, and as soon as he walked inside, there was fury in his eyes, and the sadhu looked at Alexander and said, "Welcome, servant of my servant, have a seat." And for this, Alexander had only one reply. He took out his sword. Till now he could tolerate, but this was too much, and approached the sadhu and placed the sword right at his neck. But then he saw the serene expression on the sadhu's face. He stopped. He took the sword back and said, "How dare you call me servant of the servant?" And the sadhu said, "My dear king, as far as you are concerned, you are a servant of anger. Because you were insulted, you became so angry. That means anger has controlled you. You are a servant of anger. And as far as I am concerned, I have controlled anger. Anger is my servant. So if anger is my servant and you are anger's servant, you become what? Servant of my servant." So what is the problem? So in this way, Alexander the Great learnt a very valuable lesson, that one of the very important things to do. It is easier to rule and control lands, but more difficult to control these vegas. Therefore, one who controls these vegas is called Maharaj or Goswami. Sannyasis are therefore called Maharaj. They do not have any kingdom, but they have controlled these urges. Or blaming people is the next, because can stand to be wrong. In a typical office, I saw once a notice, you know, I think in many offices this is there. The story of everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. The story goes that everybody was sure that somebody would do the job, but anybody could have done the job, but nobody did the job. As a result, what happened? Somebody was assuming that everybody will do the job, but everybody thought anybody could do the job, but nobody knew that everybody will not do the job. So finally, what happened? Everybody blamed somebody, when actually nobody did what anybody could have done. So in this way, everyone was blaming each other. So this is called the blame game. And typically, if you go in offices, you will see this story of everybody, anybody and nobody. And nobody wants to take blame. And they keep telling each other, you did, you did, you did, you did, they did. So this is known as blaming. And that is also an expression of anger. And then breaking things, flying off the handle at small things, old grievances, all of these because of an inability to communicate properly, especially when you are angry. So these are all effects or influences of anger when they just burst out, when we do not control these emotions. So this is called turn it loose. Third is manage it. And in that, the first behavior pattern shown is remaining calm, because we understand that anger is a normal emotion. We focus on the behavior and not actually the person, because under the influence of anger, we actually want to solve the problem rather than do anything else. Come to the root of the problem and solve it. Thirdly, when I'm angry, I use statements that I am feeling angry because. So not necessarily blame someone, but actually take responsibility that this is something because of which I am feeling angry. Right? So I want to be able to express the anger properly. So that is sticking to the subject and having proper discussions. That means you are interested in solving the problem and not simply in increasing the feelings of anger. So these are like some of the symptoms of managing or trying to manage this emotion of anger. So these are typical cognitive approaches which have been given by psychologists, and this we understand as the symptoms of anger. So having discussed the problem and the symptoms, now let us come to our Vedic approach. And as far as the origin or the cause and the solution and application is concerned, we will approach this from the Vedic point of view. Because normally psychologists and psychiatrists approach this problem at a very superficial level, whereas we will take a more deeper approach from the Srimad Bhagavatam, by which we can actually understand this problem deeply and in the correct perspective. So first is, as far as cause is concerned, I have divided into three parts. Number one is the origin of anger. Number two is places where anger resides. And number three, the dynamics of anger. So number one, origin. So as far as origin of anger is concerned, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is description. Lord Brahma wanted his sons Kumaras to get married. So he requested them. But they denied because they wanted to remain celibates. So Lord Brahma who is the secondary creator after Krishna, he experienced a feeling from within, and that came out through in the place between his eyebrows, and that manifested in the form of Rudra, or the personification of anger. And also in the fourth canto, there is a description of how Brahma creates the causes of devastation. These are created by Brahma, so they exist, they are there for sure. Do not ever think that in this world we can find a situation devoid of these, because they have been created at the very beginning of creation. We cannot be in a utopian fantasy thinking that one day, if all our relationships, all our systems work out perfectly well, we can have an anger-free zone, we can have an anger-free situation. Not possible. So therefore, this table is very interesting. Brahma creates irreligion, and sister of irreligion is falsity or mrisha. From them comes dambha, bluff, and the sister of dambha is called maya or cheating. And from them come lobha, greed, and nikriti, cunning. And from lobha and nikriti come krodha, anger, and himsa, envy. From krodha and himsa come kali, that is quarrel, and drupti, harsh speech. And from them come mrityu, death, and bhiti, sister, fear. And lastly, we have niray, hell, and yatana. Yatana means pain. So if you embark on the path of adharma, irreligion, you end up with niray, hell, and yatana, pain, and krodh is simply one of the stations in that journey. Right? So if you board this adharma train, you are ultimately going to reach final destination of pain, yatana, and krodh will come on the way. Therefore, these are all products of Brahma's creation. These are all systems which are created by Brahma, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore also places of residence are given. And the places of residence have been described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hrid indriyani asurvyoma vayur agni jalammahi suryas chandras tapaschaiva sthanani agre kritani cha. 11 places are given to Rudra or anger, and Rudra resides in these 11 places. You will not find this knowledge anywhere, because this understanding is only available in Srimad Bhagavatam, that anger as a phenomena is created and is given places of residence also is an unknown fact. Only on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam you can appreciate this principle. And it is so fantastic, you can see these 11 places. First of all, anger manifests in hrid or heart. That means in the mind anger generates. As soon as there is anger in the mind, immediately it manifests in your senses. The eyes become red, the nose flares up, right? Of course, we can't do much with the ears in human body. But you can see dogs, when they become angry, the ears will go up. Depending on the different species, the different senses become alert, and you can understand that anger is facing its manifestation. And then sharp speech begins. The anger comes through the tongue. And asuhu is the breathing becomes fast, intense. You start breathing heavily. Right? And also, this is just Jnanendriya. First, the anger will manifest in the Jnanendriyas, knowledge acquiring senses. Then if the anger continues to intensify, it will go to Karmendriyas also. It will come to the hand, and if it grows more, it will come to the legs also. So you have punching and kicking and all these things. So how it is happening? Because this anger is there. Just see a small child. You do not have to teach the small child what he must do when he is angry. If you take away his toy, he will come and hit you. Nobody has taken a seminar for him that when you are angry, this is what you must do. How does he know? Anger is there, right there. Just like when it is time of youth, a young boy naturally becomes attracted to young girl. Nobody has to teach the young boy, this is young girl, now see her, become attracted. Nobody has to tell, automatically it happens. Why? Because it is there within. Similarly, anger is there. Small child may appear to be very sweet, very quiet, and you are holding him, and he is just hitting like this, and father says, so cute. But actually, it is the Rudra inside, and he is manifesting, but because the strength is not there, it appears very cute. Just wait for 20 more years, and then you will be in hospital, because of the manifestation of Rudra from the 20-year-old's hand. So these are all there in these places. And Vayu, right, apart from this, Asur Vyoma, Vyoma is sky. So Rudra manifests from the sky in the form of lightning, thunder, and Vayu, the destructive principle of winds blowing, storms, right, and Agni, Agni is fire. Destructive principle of fire, jalam, is tornado, tsunami, all of these heavy winds, and the winds bring about all of these huge gallons of water, and practically major parts of coastal areas of Orissa were destroyed when they saw the Rudra principle being manifested. Mahi, earth, Rudra principle is there in earth also, it manifests as earthquake. That is Rudra principle. Surya, in Andhra Pradesh, this year we can see more than 1,200 people have died because of the influence of the heat, destruction. Chandra, under the influence of moon also, one can go crazy, one can even die sometimes, especially on full moon nights. Tapaha, when you do austerity, the influence of that austerity also creates certain kind of anger. Right? And we have seen that. So all of these great sages who do too much austerity many times are prone for angry outbursts, and they pronounce curses and this and that, because that Rudra principle is there. Therefore, these are the 11 places where Rudra resides, and these places have been given by Lord Brahma himself. So the third principle is the dynamics of how this anger works. And this I have taken in form of three steps. Step one, there is the enjoyment attitude. Enjoyment attitude means, I want to satisfy my desire. And we can see the verse in the Bhagavad Gita which says, Dhyayato vishayan pumsan sangasteshu pajayate sanga sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate. So the enjoyment principle is, I want to satisfy my desire. Desires are unlimited. And unlimited ideas come within our minds to satisfy this desire. But more powerfully and more importantly than this is step two, that we have the egocentric attitude. And the egocentric attitude says that I can fulfill my desire. Right? And this is known as egocentricity. As Krishna says in Gita, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. So I want to satisfy my desire is okay. But when you also feel I can satisfy my desire because I am the doer, I am the controller, I am the power, then the seeds are sown for anger to manifest itself. Right? Like for example, there was this Brahman. And this Brahman was extremely strict in doing all of his Gayatri and rituals and everything on time. So one day it was time for his Gayatri and he was sleeping. He was taking rest. Kali personified sat near him and woke him up. And immediately he got up and he looked here and there and saw somebody is waking him. Said, what happened? Said, time for your Gayatri. So immediately he did his Gayatri. After doing Gayatri, he turned to thank this fellow who had woken him up. And he said, who are you? You appear to be Kali personified. Said, yes, I am Kali personified. So Brahman was astounded. You are Kali personified and you are waking me up for doing my religious duty? You are supposed to create hindrance in religious duty. You have changed or what? You have transformed yourself? Because you are so addicted to this concept that I am performing this religious activity so perfectly. You have a bloated false ego. You are thinking, I am the doer. And therefore, if you miss doing this Gayatri today, you will become very humble. And then when you become humble, you will make great spiritual advancement. Therefore, I don't want you to make that spiritual advancement, so I woke you up. Chalo, do Gayatri. So continue feeling proud, thinking that I am the doer. Therefore, this is known as the egocentric attitude. And third is the frustrated attitude. And frustrated attitude means I wanted to, but I could not. I wanted to get this job, but I could not. I wanted to get this promotion, but I could not. I wanted to get this girl, but I could not. I wanted to get these marks, but I could not. You can just fill in the blanks. That's why I've left the blanks there. Each one can project his own wanted to and could not. Therefore, this is known as the frustrated attitude, and this results in anger. Kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidhyainam iha vairinam. So this is Krishna's declaration that when there is this desire, when the desire is frustrated, it results in anger. Like Markandeya Puran describes how Ram and Lakshman were in the forest in Vanvas, and Lakshman was carrying a piece of cloth having some mitti, some mud, some dust from a certain place. And suddenly Lakshman started feeling in his mind, why I am serving this Ram all the time? What did I do to deserve this kind of vanvas? And he was bewildered. How I am getting this thought? So when he put that cloth back down, this thought went away. Again he felt like serving. Again picked up that cloth back, carrying this dust. Again this offensive mentality came. Why should I serve this Ram? Why should I be a servant? Again he put it down. Again that thought disappeared. So he was bewildered. He approached Lord Ram and said, Prabhu, please explain. I am having very terrible offensive thoughts. I am feeling very angry. So Ram said, did you pick up the dust from that place which we visited at our last halt? Said, yes, I picked up that dust, and whenever I am carrying it, I am getting these thoughts of anger. Lord Ram said, I knew that will be the problem. Said, what is the problem with dust? So Lord Ram said, actually in that very spot, a very important incident took place. There were two big demons, Shunda and Upasunda. They were so powerful, they had defeated practically all the demigods. And they performed great tapasya and pleased Lord Brahma. And they had taken benediction from Brahma. And they had said, nobody can kill us, except we can kill each other. And they were so confident, they are the best of friends. They are so brotherly, they would never kill each other. So nobody should be able to kill us except we ourselves. So in this way the benediction was given. So Brahmaji approached the demigods and said, now you take this Apsara, her name is Tilottama, the most beautiful Apsara I have created, and send this Tilottama between Sunda and Upasunda and see the fun. So till that time Sunda and Upasunda were the best of friends, brothers together. They would enjoy beating demigods together. They were always in partnership. beating all the demigods, destroying them. But now this Tilottama walked in. And as soon as Tilottama started walking, Sunda saw her and immediately he said, "Oh, this most beautiful lady, she is mine, she is mine." And Upasunda said, "Yes, she is yours, but she is your bhabhi." And he said, "How can you say like that? I saw her first." "No, no, I already saw her long time back." So and then, you know what happens in these cases. Disagreement arises, and then there was, "I wanted to but could not." Frustrated attitude, fighting began, and both killed each other. Because they had that benediction. So Lord Ram said to Lakshman that that was the place where Sunda and Upasunda had their fight, and from that place you picked up this dust. You can imagine, these vibrations are so powerful, they have permeated into that dust, and that is influencing your consciousness. Therefore, throw it back. So Lakshman immediately took that packet and threw it back. So in this way, we can see that these three attitudes, the enjoyment attitude, the egocentric attitude, and the frustrated attitude. Therefore, when lust is frustrated, anger results. So we have covered three sections of our presentation, and now we'll come to the last two parts, having covered the problem part, the symptoms and the causes. Now let us come to the solution. And the solution I have covered in two portions. One is control and second is conquer. So the control part is in also in certain sections. First of all, if I have to control anger, how do I control it? So there are six steps which we have just mentioned. First is patiently. It is a vega. It is like a force. So you have to be patient. It takes time. So therefore Rupa Goswami says, utsaha nishchayat dhairyat. So when you are trying to control anger, first of all be patient. Secondly, privately. That means if I am facing this experience or emotion of anger, then rather than discussing with 100 people and making them also angry, we should try to solve this problem with as little people as possible. And many times this happens. Somebody is in angry mood, starts shouting and goes and complains to 10 people, and all the 10 are angry. Right? Because generally people have a tendency to become angry. And especially if you go in local trains, someone starts shouting, 2 people start shouting, 3 people, and then before you know, whole compartment is shouting. Nobody knows who is shouting at what. Right? And you ask, why he is shouting? I don't know, he just started shouting, I am also shouting. Why should I keep quiet? He thinks I can't shout or what? I have to show him I can also shout. Right? One time in the station I was seeing that something happened and few people started beating someone, and a fellow was standing right next to me and he ran towards them and he also beat 2 times and came back. When he came, I asked him, why you went and hit? He said, I also have to contribute something to society. If they are doing so much, why should I keep quiet? Right? So rather than expanding and increasing and spreading, try to minimize it. That means privately. And we can see that when in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Dhruva Maharaj went out of bounds, so Kuvera personally came and tried to pacify on a one-to-one level. Swayambhuva Manu came, he tried to pacify him. When there was a disagreement between Indra and Prithu Maharaj, they met themselves one-to-one. And then they resolved this conflict in the presence of great personalities like Lord Vishnu or Brahma. So in this way, we have to do in a very nice way this controlling process. Otherwise, this can potentially spread. Thirdly, we have to do it prudently. Prudently means what? The words have the power to either hurt or heal, to bless or burn. So therefore Krishna says in Gita, anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat. Swadhyayabhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. So as far as this tongue is concerned, the words which come out have great power. And any words turned here and there can create havoc. Like during the British regime, there was this British officer and he had a native who was serving him, and it happened to be Diwali time and he wanted to give him some bakshish. So he was giving him this bakshish. So he felt that since he is a native, Hindi speaking, so let me speak to him in Hindi and bless him. So he wanted to tell him that after giving bakshish, tum salamat raho. So rather than that, he said, tum salamat raho. And this fellow thought, my God, he's insulting me so much. He went and called all the other people. And there was a big revolt against this officer. And ultimately he had to give an apology to all of them. And then they became pacified. And then the other British officers told him, better speak your own language. Don't try to imitate. Even a few words changed here and there will create big havoc. So therefore words have great power. And therefore, whatever sound vibration comes out, that has the power to please or to displease. So we have to be very prudent in the choice of our words. As I gave the example of a zamindar, he was sitting in his veranda of his house, and then there was this beggar who came, and he told the zamindar, oh, what a beautiful building you have, sir. And the zamindar said to his wife inside, oh, my dear wife, please bring out one big basket of grains. And this beggar thought, great, I am getting a lot of things. Said, sir, what beautiful clothes you are wearing. Said, my dear wife, bring out a watch. Said, sir, this garden, I think you only have made it. The best garden I have seen in the village. My dear wife, bring out a gold chain. And he was feeling ecstasy that today is a great day, lucky day. I am getting so many things at one place. So he was waiting and waiting and waiting, nothing came out. Finally he told the zamindar, sir, you just mentioned certain things, it has not yet come. And zamindar said, how did you please me? With words. How did I please you? With words. Be happy. What is your problem? Therefore words also have the power to please. So we have to use the words in a proper way that can actually heal and not hurt. Therefore Chanakya Pandit says, Jihvagre vasati lakshmi, Jihvagre mitra bandhava. Where does money reside? Here, at the edge of the tongue. Where do friends and relatives and family members reside? Here, at the end of the tongue. If you actually put your hand there, you won't find anyone. But the way you speak, it determines whether you'll make a fortune or you'll become a pauper. That has a great hand to play. So one has to be very prudent in the way one approaches in times of conflict. Fourthly, we can use this technique of controlling, that is powerfully. So anger is a great power. So the great philosopher Aristotle says, it is not very important whether you become angry or not, but it is very important whether you are using the anger in the right way, at the right person, for the right purpose, for the right period of time. And this is the most important thing. So therefore Narottam Das Thakur explains, krodha bhakta dveshi jane. So a very wonderful way of controlling this anger is to use it or channelize it in the right direction. So how do we channelize it? We can channelize towards those who are against dharma, who are opposing the principles of righteousness. And that, we may think in one hand, one purport of that is actually opposing and attacking. Like we have the example of Hanumanji. Srila Prabhupada typically gives the example of Hanumanji when he went to Lanka, how he was reacting in that garden, Ashok Vatika. Jambumali, the great demon assistant of Ravana, came to attack Hanumanji, with a big army of more than 100,000 soldiers. And he came in front of Hanumanji and told Hanumanji, "You just stand here, I will increase my size. And then after increasing my size, I will smash you, you stupid monkey." And then he closed his eyes and he started increasing his size. When he had finally increased his size, he opened his eyes, he saw in front of his eyes two big circles with design. He could not understand what these two circles is. And then he looked up and saw that those two were Hanumanji's knees. And Hanuman was standing way up. And he looked down and he could see big feet of Hanumanji. And Hanumanji was looking down and asking, "So what's going on now?" So that time, Jambumali turned back and he saw that his whole army of 100,000 soldiers, Hanumanji had just taken one big slab of stone and placed it right on top of the whole army, and everyone was buried. Their souls were resting in peace. They had all been finished by Hanumanji. And then he destroyed Jambumali, destroyed Ashok Vatika, he destroyed practically the whole of Lanka. And Srila Prabhupada gives this as a classic example of powerfully using anger against those who are trying to create problems for the Lord's mission. But then, for most of us, it is not possible to do like this. Therefore, for us, it is recommended we try to destroy the demoniac spirit. Right? Powerfully channelize this energy in a positive way. The second example given is that of Arjun. That Arjun also was fighting on the battle of Kurukshetra with full vigor. And in fact, Krishna spoke the entire Gita simply to make Arjun angry. Arjuna was saying, "I want to be peaceful. I don't want to fight Krishna." Krishna said, "How can you be peaceful? You have to become angry, you have to fight, come on." 700 verses were spoken to make Arjun angry. And we are giving Gita lectures, telling people, "Hear Gita and be peaceful." So this may appear to be contradiction. But for Arjuna to perform his prescribed duty on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, needed that he should be angry and fight. And therefore, when Abhimanyu died, Arjuna was crying. And he actually lost hope. And he was thinking, "What I will do?" And when Arjuna was crying, Krishna also stood near Arjuna. Krishna also started crying. So Arjuna looked at Krishna and said, "I am crying because I lost my son. Krishna, why are you crying?" And Krishna said, "I spoke 700 verses of Gita to you. After hearing that, you are crying now. Seeing that, I am crying. That what is the use of my speaking?" So you cannot just cry, Arjun. You have to stand up and fight tomorrow. So Arjuna continued fighting the next day. And that was the success of his display of anger. And that was being used in the service. So this is as far as powerful use of anger is concerned. Other is positively. Anger must be used positively. That means, in one sense, we can control anger. And controlling anger is not sufficient. We have to go beyond that and try to develop positive relationships. Become friendly. So the more you try to make friends with someone and become friendly, the more these feelings of anger will subside. And sixth is personally. That means, on a personal level, you should know that this anger is nothing but my response to a certain incident. You can't just blame someone else. He is the cause of my anger. They are responsible for my anger. The system is like this. You have to own that responsibility. I am becoming angry. I have that responsibility for this. So you should know, anger is like that acid which destroys the very container in which it is stored. Right? So this is as far as controlling is concerned. Then we have conquering anger. And that is four steps. First is recognize anger. Krishna says in Gita, "Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmana kamam क्रोधम तथा लोभम. सो क्रोध इज ऑल्सो वन ऑफ द पावरफुल एनिमीज, गेट्स ऑफ हेल. सो रिकग्नाइज इट. सेकेंडली, आफ्टर रिकग्नाइजिंग वन मस्ट रिपेंट. रिपेंट सिंसियरली. इन द फायर ऑफ रिपेंटेंस ऑल ऑफ अवर सिंस आर कंप्लीटली इरेडिकेटेड एंड डिस्ट्रॉयड. थर्डली, रेजिस्ट द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ एंगर. एज दे से समटाइम्स द रेमेडी फॉर अ शॉर्ट टेम्पर इज अ लॉन्ग वॉक. और समवन सेज ऑलवेज राइट एंग्री मेल्स टू योर एनिमीज बट नेवर पोस्ट देम. राइट, दैट मीन्स व्हेन दीज अर्जेस कम अप, रेजिस्ट देम. कृष्ण सेज इन गीता, शक्नोति हैव यः सोढुम प्राक् शरीर विमोक्षणात् काम क्रोधोद्भवम वेगम सह युक्त स सुखी नर. माई डियर अर्जुन, यू हैव टू टॉलरेट दिस अर्ज ऑफ एंगर प्राक् शरीर विमोक्षणा, टिल द टाइम ऑफ डेथ यू हैव टू टॉलरेट दिस. दिस इज अ वेरी पावरफुल अर्ज. काम क्रोध उद्भवम वेगम. एंड देन लास्टली, यू रियलाइज दैट I am so incompetent and so powerless to control this anger. I need help. I have tried a lot to control my anger, but I am not able to control. So let me rely on higher powers. So that is the fourth step. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Gajendra speaks a beautiful verse in which he says, Namo namaste khilakaranaya निष्कारणायाद्भुत कारणाय सर्वागमानाय महार्णवाय नमो पवर्गाय परायणाय. माय डियर लॉर्ड, दिस एंगर इज सो इनसरमाउंटेबल. इट इज जस्ट लाइक एन ओशन एंड इट इज प्रैक्टिकली इम्पॉसिबल फॉर मी टू क्रॉस दिस ओशन. And there are so many reasons by which I can become angry. How can I resist? This kama, this krodha, all of these vegas are practically duranta shaktiye, coming from your insurmountable maya energy. I have no power. But I have faith that you are prapanna palaya. You always protect those who take your shelter. So that means he is relying on higher powers. And this is considered to be very, very important, that one tries to rely. So now we come to the conclusion of today's presentation, and that is the application part. And in application, I have divided it into a very easy to remember way. Right, I call it the ABCD of anger management. This is the application or the take-home message. If I have to control my anger, what are the do's and don'ts for me in my daily life? That is the ABCD of anger management. First is the physical. Second is mental. Third is intellectual. And fourth is spiritual. So at all these four levels, you can perform exercises and control your anger. So first, let us see. The physical consists of three parts. First is analyze, A. So analyze the mind-body connection and understand that just as mind controls the body also controls the mind. So some of the recommended things to do is that if you are feeling angry, drinking a glass of cold water helps. And generally, when we become angry, the breathing becomes fast, so slowing down the breathing process also helps. Right? Of course, don't ask me if you are standing for cold water near a cooler and you become angry, what happens? But this is the physical part. That means it's a very rudimentary thing, analyzing this connection. Both have a connection. Second is abstaining from stimulating foods which excite the nerves. example, intoxicants and meat eating. Try to avoid them. Thirdly, avoid passionate habits, especially illicit sex, and try to practice celibacy. Right, because these always agitate and make the mind angry. Yashir Radha Gopinath ji ki. As our Badrinarayan Prabhu was giving the example, one time a boy and a girl, they had a severe fight and they started arguing, and then because there was some illicit connection with some other person and so on, the anger became so much, the girl decided to commit suicide. And this man left that room in a huff and he came down, it was in a skyscraper building, so from 72nd floor he walked down. And when he actually came out of the ground floor and came out of the hotel, at that time this girl jumped from the top. And she fell right on top of this fellow's head. And she survived and he died. So it's one of these strange stories Badrinarayan Prabhu tells. And he was explaining that all of these illicit connections which we have create anxiety and pain within the mind. Secondly, mental. And first of all is befriend your causes of anger. Develop a sense of humor and develop certain right perspectives. Like the other day someone was saying that there was a 70-year-old man and he had jet black hair. So naturally, everyone could understand, this cannot be natural, you know. So somebody came and tried to trigger him and said, "So sir, your this black hair is from your father's side or mother's side?" Said, "Neither from father's side nor mother's side, it is peroxide." He could have blown up and he could have felt angry, but he had a certain sense of humor, so he could take it in his stride. Right. And also developing the right perspectives. A certain situation, how do you deal with it? Like for example, a sadhu, he was taking his bath in Godavari. And whenever he would come out, there was an envious man standing outside and he would spit at this sadhu. Thoo! So again he went inside, took a bath and came out. Again he spat on him. Thoo! Again he went inside, took a bath without speaking a word. Again came out, again he spat. And this went on for a very long time. And then finally, this fellow, he became frustrated. That this fellow is not losing his temper, I am losing all my saliva. So what, he stopped. And finally he said, "My dear sir, just tell me, many times when you don't lose your anger, other people often lose their anger. That why he is not losing his anger?" So he said, "Why you are not losing your anger?" And he said, "Why should I lose my anger? You are my very good friend. You are helping me." He said, "Come on, this is the height of it. I am trying to make you angry, now you are calling me friend also. What is the connection?" He said, "Just see, today is Ekadashi and this is holy river Godavari, and on Ekadashi I could take 108 times bath by your mercy only. So I am thinking that definitely the Lord has sent you to help me." So, he had a certain perspective of looking at things. So, developing the right perspective is also important. Secondly, balance the energy flow. And this comes also in the mental part, talking less. And number two, relaxing reasonably. As Krishna says, yukta hara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmana. Thirdly, banish negative thoughts. Focus on positive action and act positively. Create plans which can generate positive things. And this is very important. When the fire is at a nascent stage, you can actually pour water and douse that fire. A glass of water is sufficient to put out a fire. If you put that glass of water at the right stage of the fire. If it grows, then even fire brigade cannot help. Also, Krishna says in Gita, Udharet Atmanatmanam Atmanam Navasadayet. Control the mind with the help of intelligence, like that. So banishing negative thoughts. Befriend, balance, banish. Next is intellectual. First is consider the harmful effects of anger on the body, mind, on society, family, etc. I gave the example of Hanumanji, but after destroying Lanka, after Hanumanji extinguished the fire in his tail, Hanumanji quotes a verse which is very important. He says, Krudha papam na kuryatam, krudham hanyad gurum api, krudha parushaya vacha, narahasadhun adhikshipet. A person under the influence of anger can perform the most abominable sin, and he can kill practically anyone. He can even kill his guru. And under the influence of anger, one can speak anything and insult anyone. Therefore, every sane person should give up anger. So Hanumanji is definitely recommending giving up anger, considering the ill effects which anger will have. And you should contemplate within the mind these ill effects. That is an intellectual way of dealing with anger. Secondly, contemplate the blessings of non-irritable nature and how one can be harmonious and happiness, and there can be happiness by having this non-irritable nature. Thirdly, convert the spirit of vengeance into force of self-development. Reason against revenge and reason to forgive. So when Dhruv Maharaj was very angry with his stepmother, his mother Suniti said, do not take revenge, because whatever you do to others will ultimately come back to you. So reason against revenge is, it causes self-destruction only. If you go to the valley and you shout in the middle of the valley, the echo will turn out the same sound back on you. So if you shout negative words, blasphemies, blasphemy will come back. If you speak glorifications, that will come back. So revenge comes back just like an echo. Or as an Iraqi terrorist, he sent a letter bomb to someone, and because of some reason the addressee was not found, and that letter came back, but it was little in a damaged condition. He couldn't recognize it as the same letter, and he himself opened that letter, and that letter bomb exploded in his face. He had only sent it, but it came back to him. So this is interesting. We may become angry with someone, but we should know the feeling of revenge will ultimately come back upon us. And reasons to forgive. And this also spoken by Hanumanji. Yaha samutpatitam krodham kshamayaiva nirasyati yathoragam jiranam drisej savai purusha uchyate. Hanumanji gives the definition of a purusha or a human being as someone, yaha samutpatitam krodham, one who actually gives up anger, which suddenly springs up inside the heart like lightning. Samutpatitam means like lightning it strikes. So, kshamayaiva nirasyati. The only way you can overcome is by kshama, or forgiveness. Yathoragam tvacham jirnam. Just like a snake gives up its skin, like that we should give up our anger. So in this way, this is conversion at an intellectual level. Consider, contemplate, convert. Fourthly, spiritual level, and that is number one, discuss spiritual topics with saintly personalities, assimilating the vital lessons by hearing and chanting. So this includes discussing with saints, and in saintly association a person is elevated Just like a dust particle in association with water becomes mud, the same dust particle in association with air can go up and sit on top of the peacock feather of Gopinath. It is all a matter of with whom that dust associates. Right? Therefore, association is most important. It can make you or break you. And in this association, hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Secondly, discriminate between reality and illusion. And Krishna says in Gita, Matra sparshastu kaunteya, shita ushna sukha dukhada. Understand the difference between reality and illusion. And try to know, I am not the body, I am the soul. Be situated in the spiritual reality. And thirdly, discover the virtues of tolerance, divine qualities like tolerance, humility, forgiveness, pridelessness, etc. How? By chanting Hare Krishna regularly and by giving Krishna to others. Because this process of chanting is the most powerful means of transforming your heart. Tiraskrataha vipralabdhaha shaptaha kshiptaha hata api nasya tat pratikurvanti tat bhaktaha prabhavopihi. Bhagavatam says, when these divine qualities are manifested in a devotee, tiraskrataha, even if he is insulted, vipralabdhaha, he is cheated, shaptaha, he is cursed, kshiptaha, neglected, hataha, or even up to the point of being killed, nasya tat pratikurvanti, he will not retaliate because he has decided to forgive genuinely. Tad bhaktaha prabhavopihi. So you may think he is not retaliating because he is powerless. He is weak, that is why. But prabhavopihi, although he is powerful to retaliate, that is real forgiveness. Right? Not like how our Braj Kumar Prabhu tells the story of two ants going on the road and they see one elephant coming. And one ant tells the other ant, shall we beat him up? Shall we beat this elephant up? And the other ant says, forget him. He is alone. We are two, you know. So it's not equal. You know, this kind of forgiveness makes no sense because they are powerless. Prabhavopihi, although you are powerful, but still, like Parikshit Maharaj, he could have cursed Sringi back. But because he had these qualities within, so he could forgive. Therefore, this is the ultimate stage where you are not just mentally thinking, you are not intellectually contemplating, but this quality has manifested genuinely from within because of a continuous process of chanting and giving Krishna to others and following a bona fide process. So in this way we can see that this application is very important. Physical level, you can analyze, abstain from stimulating foods, try to be vegetarian and avoid intoxicants and avoid passionate habits, try to practice celibacy. Mental, befriend your causes of anger, balance the energy flow and banish negative thoughts. B. Intellectual, C. Consider the harmful effects on body, mind, society, family. Contemplate blessings of a non-irritable nature and convert the spirit of vengeance into something self-developing. And D. Spiritual. Discuss, discriminate between body and soul and discover the virtues of humility, tolerance, forgiveness, etc. And in this way, with this ABCD of anger management. But following this ABCD will take our whole lifetime. This is not like the other ABCD. This is very, very difficult to follow. And therefore some hints have been given so that we can try to apply these principles in our own lives. So with this, we come to the end of our presentation today. I am very grateful to all the students, for all the guests who have assembled today in great numbers for this presentation, where we have discussed on overcoming anger, discussing the problem, analyzing the symptoms, trying to find out the causes, solution, and then certain applications have been recommended. So I hope and pray that you will all try to follow these principles in your own lives. And we have this wonderful Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, part of ISKCON Society. For those who are coming new, every Sunday we have programs, you can get connected. And there are so many other activities connected to this temple. These monthly youth festivals have been going on for a long time. And we would now request some students who have been associated with this Prerana festival to speak their realizations of what it has been like in the last 1 year or so. This is the 12th Prerana. So I will now call upon Pratik Kapoor Prabhu to just speak a couple of minutes on what his experience has been in this Prerana festival.
Hare Krishna. Extremely grateful for giving this opportunity to speak of how this process has actually helped me personally. After practicing this process for a couple of years, I can very easily distinguish between my life, my pre-Krishna conscious life, and my life currently. So before coming in contact with devotees, my life was full of stress, anxieties, tension, and which led to a lot of frustration. As a result, my family members and my friends actually nicknamed me the angry young man. But after coming in contact with devotees and getting my questions answered, I realized that my mental stress and tension were all going away gradually. And I realized that this is the only place where all my questions were answered. And the best part of this temple is the personal love, the personal care and the personal attention given to each and every devotee who comes to the temple. And that is all we are all looking for. So my request is to please keep coming to the temple. Please keep attending the Prerana festival. Thank you very much.
Hari Bol. May I request Santosh Prabhu to come forward and speak a few words. Santosh Prabhu is a topper in electrical engineering in Bombay University 2 years back, and now he's a gold medalist from Bombay University working with Putney Computers. Now he's a faculty in Thakur College. So Santosh, could you speak a few words?
Hare Krishna. This prerana is giving me a lot of prerana, definitely. A lot of inspiration as well as joy. When I was working in Putney Computers as a software engineer, before coming into Krishna consciousness, I was very much stressed up. Like, there was so much frustration in the job, I was not able to cope up with that. After coming to this temple, attending the lectures and this prerana seminars, I got so much confidence in myself that I can handle any situation right now. I'm now working as a faculty at engineering college, and I'm doing very good at it thanks to the Krishna consciousness process. The best part is that if you chant the Hare Krishna regularly, and it sharpens your memory. That is my personal experience. Not only that, but after coming into Krishna consciousness, I can do more work than I was doing before. So my efficiency has really increased too much. So I request all of you to take this process very seriously. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.